I am following up on the previous shiur, but there's no problem if somebody just came today, because in many ways it's an independent shiur as well. I want to start with a milsa de bedichusa. There was a very, very sharp child, a brilliant child in the first grade, or whatever grade it was, in the cheder, and the Rebbe came to the Aleph Beis, and the pronunciation of the Aleph Beis with the Nekudos. So he said that the pronunciation of Pei with a Tzera is Pei. So he asked the children in the class, Flektakasha, ask a question. So everyone was silent. So he wasn't upset about everyone else, because they were just average kids. But this brilliant child, he expected him to ask the question. So he asks him, "Nu, ask the question." So they're quiet. Finally he says, "Yankala, there's no question to ask." So Yankala remains quiet. So he says, "The question is, if the letter Pei is pronounced Pei anyhow, what do you need the Tzera for?" So Yankala says, "I thought that that was your question, but then I said it can't be, because you didn't ask it by Hey." So what is the relevance of that milsa de bedichusa to us? There happens to be two separate gemaras about this very inyan, where the Gemara takes one of the oisiyos of the Aleph Beis and uses it and its picture, the pictogram of the ois, to explain a very profound concept of hashkafa. And what's remarkable is that the ois that is being used in Masechet Shabbos is different than the ois that's being used for the very same point in Masechet Menachos. Last time when we spoke about Masechet Menachos' Gemara, Amar Rav Ashi, Daf Choftesam at Bezin Menachos, Chazino Lehu Lesafri de Dafkani. Dafkani is from the word Dafka, and Dafka here means precise. I see the precision Sfarim, the Sfarim that have Sofrim Medaktikim, who wrote the Sfarim, the Bey Rav, the Chatri Lehu Legage de Ches, Vitoluhu Lekari de He. It's a very remarkable thing. We are used to seeing the Tzur of the Hay. At the end of these sheets, which we're not going to do, I quoted a number of Poskim Halacha L'maisa going way, way back. There is one piece here also from the Rajba, which we will take a look at in a moment, where they ask the question that this Gemara is mashma, that it isn't ma'akev if the leg of the hay that's loose ends up touching the roof of the hay. Now, of course, the first thing we would say is if that leg touches the roof of the hay, it becomes a ches. Exactly. Take a look at the Lashon of the Rajba. That's exactly what the Rajba asks. The katolu lekare pirish regel pnimi shel hay. That's hay, the letter hay. Tolu ba'avir is hanging in the air. Ve'einoy dovuk legagoy lahay. It isn't connected to the roof of the hay. So the yesh lahakshay is pshita de tzarech lemitliyei lekare. Of course you have to disconnect the regel of the hay, because if you connect it to the roof, the imhoya dovuk legagoy im kein ma'hefresh yiyah ben hay leches. Haloy hakol yiyah echot. Umay safra dafkono denokat, the mashma avol sha'ar lo. He says, you're talking about sfarim meduyokim, sounds like a big lechatchila, but other sfarim that are kosher, they don't necessarily have it. That's not how you talk if it becomes a ches. So this is a big plunter. This is a big, big discussion in the poskim. Is there a way of connecting the leg of the hay beheter so that it's still considered a hay and is not considered a ches? So some discuss the ches, and they say that the unique property of the ches is that the center roof of the ches is pitched on an angle, like a triangle.
Like two Zions.
Like two Zions connected, exactly. And that you have in the Gemara Shabbos and elsewhere. And then maybe there is no need to see the regal of the hay separate, because it's a hay by definition, since its roof is flat. But this is a very remarkable discussion. Let's go back to the Gemara in Menachos. So the Gemara says, why is the chatru lelegagi de ches? Kloimar chayhu berumay shel olam. The tolele the kari dehei. What's the ches we're not going into? We are now interested in why the leg of the hay is dangling without being connected to the roof. Why is that the lechatchila or even the bidyevet, according to some shitas? Why? Right? So he says, Gedebo minei Reb Yehuda nesiyo mirab ami. Mai dechsiv bitchu b'Hashem adayad ki b'ko Hashem tzuroi lomim. Omalei kol ha-toyle bitchoinoi ba-kodesh Baruch Hu harei-loi machse ba-olam hazeh ul-olam haba. Omalei, he said to him, I'm asking a different question. I'm not asking you to tell me pshat in the pasuk. That bitachon is a great thing and it gives a person privileges ba-olam hazeh and ba-olam haba. Interesting, bitachon is the best thing that could ever happen to a person ba-olam hazeh. Because when you have bitachon, you have everything.
What's machse?
Machse is machse is a protection. Chasayubo. Amalei anohi kokashuli. So he said to him, "No, that's not what I asked. I didn't ask you pshat in the pasuk. I'm asking a different question. Maishna dechsiv bekar with the base veloiksiv kar. Why doesn't it say kikar Hashem tzur olamim? What does it mean bekar? As if the base means the tool of yud and hey." Bika, ki bika Hashem tzur olamim, ki the darash Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Loi, elu shnei olamos shebo Hakadosh Baruch Hu, echad behei veechad biyud. Hakadosh Baruch Hu created one world, olam hazeh, olam haba, two olamos. One of those two olamos he created with the letter hey, of course, whatever that means, as we shall soon see, and the other one he created with the letter yud. The eini yodeya ima olam haba biyud veolam hazeh behei. Or the opposite, im oilam azeh biyud v'olam abo behei. Keshu oimer, eile toldos hashamayim v'oritz behi bar om, with the hey behi bar om, al tikre behi bar om, elo behei bira om. Right? Hevi oimer, oilam azeh behei, ul oilam abo biyud. So the Gemara says that the world of oilam azeh was created with the letter hey. Now the question is, it's Behi Baram proves Behi Baram. Behi Baram proves that it's Olam Hazeh that we're talking about. But what does it mean that Olam Hazeh was created with the letter Hey? So he answers, because Mipnei Shedoyme La'ach Sadra, because the world is like an open porch, which does not have walls. A portico. There's a roof to protect you from the sun, and then you can walk in and out of it. There are no doors, because you don't need doors, because there are no walls. You just walk in and out. It's a porch. Shekol, what is the significance of it? That the access to it and the exit from it is extremely facile. It's very easy. You know, where you have a door, you have to find the door, like by Huku B'Sanverim V'Yilu Limtso HaPesach. And if you don't find the door, you hit the wall and you remain where you are. And Achsadra, it's almost impossible to be in. You start walking and all of a sudden you discover you're on the outside of the Achsadra. So he says, what is the Shekol HaRoitze Lot Seis Yeitze? Whoever wants to leave can leave. Now, what does that mean? Leave the world? Was he talking about somebody who wants to commit suicide? What does it mean, whoever wants to leave? So we shall soon see. Because the rest of the Gemara indicates what this Yilatzeis Yeitzei means. And we are talking, of course, about Musar, Hashkafa, Midos, Yerashamayim. These are the Inyonim that we're talking about leaving. What we call today going off the Derech. It's very simple to go out of the Achsadra. My timer, says the Gemara further, Tal Yokare. So if that's the case, we know why it's open on the bottom. But why still is the leg of the hay that's loose, why is it not connected to the top? So he answers the Ihadar B'tshuva, and from this phrase you realize what he was talking about before with somebody that went off the derech, that needs to do tshuva, that if he wants to do tshuva, and he's Chayzer B'tshuva, Ma'ailile, you bring him back, where? How? Through the small opening that is near the roof. So the Gemara asks, Valeo Bahach, I don't understand what you need an opening. Let's say it was the letter Ches. The way he fell out, that's how he should climb back in. In an Aksadra, just as it is easy to leave the Aksadra, it's also simple to enter into the Aksadra. So the Gemara, a very special phrase, but without embellishment or explanation. Loi istaya milsa. You don't have a siyaita. It doesn't go like that. You can't go back the way you came. Very remarkable. Kiddurish Lakish. And in order to confirm this point, they quote a chazal, Rish Lakish's statement, which he darshans from a pasuk that we already learned. It's Mishlei Gimel. And the pasuk says, Im la leitzim hu yolitz. If it concerns a leitz, and a leitz doesn't mean necessarily here a comedian or a clown, it means somebody who mocks the Torah and therefore obviously does not keep the Torah. Hu yolitz, HaKadosh Baruch Hu pays him back yolitz. What does yolitz mean? We shall soon see. Ulanovim yitein chein. So Chazal tell us that from this pasuk, im la leitzim hu yolitz, you see a remarkable thing. And from the second half of the pasuk, maybe even more remarkable. Namely, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu participates in the decline of the Baal Aveira and in the return of the Baal Tshuva. What we call Siyata Dishmaya, but it goes in both directions. How so? So the Gemara says, Bo L'tayer Misayin Oso, Bo L'tame Poischin Lo. On this lashon, bo l'tayr misayin osoy bo l'tame poischin loy, you have different nuschois and girsois. Tosfos, of course, the Tosfos is on Masechta Shabbos, and they're talking about the kuf, which we'll get to in a moment. That was the milsa de bedichasa that I spoke to you about before. But Tosfos says, is the garsi, you see the first Tosfos, is the garsi bo l'tame poischin loy. Right? That's the girsa that we have actually in the Gemara Menachas. Kloimar. Yesh loy psochim likones. Bo l'taher. Misayin oisai. She poiskun loy pesach likones. Vahainu dumyu de la'el de shovik loy pesach likones. Ulahanu de garsi bo l'tame poiskun loy. Tzorech loimar de misayin oisai havit feimi poiskun. Bekitzer, what Tosis is pointing out is that there, it's not the same. Whatever your girsa is, you're going to have to interpret according to that distinction. But it's not the same. The siyaita of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to do the Aveira and the siyaita of HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the Baal Tshuva is not equal. If he sees that somebody's about to do an Aveira, what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu do for him? So that's the question. So he says, Ulahanu de Garsi Boli Tami Poischin Loi, Tsarchloima de Messiah Noisoi, Havit Femi Poischin. In other words, whatever your Loshon is, Siyua is better. So if the Loshon is Siyua is Bolitaya, right? Bolitame Poischin Loi, that's the Girsa that we have, right? Bolitame Poischin Loi. So Siyua is better. So what is the difference between Poischin and Messiah? That's something that we have to understand also. Let's first take a look, before we go into the kishkis of this Chazal, where we already know one thing, that the picture of the hay is, there's an opening on the bottom, which means it's very easy to fall out. What about tshuva? The Gemara takes it for granted that tshuva is possible. That is a tremendous chiddush, by the way, in its own right. That tshuva b'chlal is possible. Because generally, if you drink poison, you die. And you could have as many regrets as you want. So the fact that tshuva is possible is a tremendous, tremendous thing. Nevertheless, Nevertheless, the Gemara assumes tshuva and does not discuss here that there is such a thing as tshuva. But the Gemara says when he wants to do tshuva, why doesn't he just go back the way he came? The Gemara again is cryptic, but they quote a pasuk in Mishlei Gimel, Im la'leitzim hu yolitz, u la'anovim yiten chayin, which the Gemara obviously is learning, la'anovim yiten chayin is the opposite of la'leitzim yolitz, and in both it's speaking about the Ribbono Shel Olam doing something to aid and abet, either to abet the one who's leaving the Achsadra, to allow him to leave, and that is of course negative, because the Shulchan is participating in the negative, in some way, which we have to explain, and Bolitayer Misayin Lo. So the Gemara is saying that if he comes to be Mitayer, HaKadosh Baruch Hu aids and abets him even more. But how does that answer the question, why does he have to go through the top? So what the Gemara apparently, just the surface of the Gemara is, that if we would assume that you can do everything with your own koichus, then the Gemara would say you really don't need another Pesach. Or you don't need that Pesach. Because you have the Pesach from which he came out. But once we know that there's a component that has to do with the Eibishter, you realize that this is an area that requires Siyata Dishmaya. And in an area which requires Siyata Dishmaya, is no such thing as you go out, then go back in the way you came. Because if it requires Siyata Dishmaya, there is obviously a problem. There's obviously a drawback. There's obviously something that's holding you. And in such a circumstance that it's holding you, then you know, number one, that you need Siyata Dishmaya, but you also know that you can't go back the way you came. The question that we should have is, Einoch Hanami HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you Siyata Dishmaya. With that Siyata Dishmaya, why don't you go back the way you came? So this is something that we have to be masbir. What does it mean that this extra Pesach on top? And then, of course, there's another question, which is a machloikas rishonim. The machloikas is, if you have another Pesach, is it because you have now two Pesachim, the way you came, plus the other Pesach? Or is it that the bottom Pesach is out of the question? And it's dafka, the upper Pesach, that matters. You follow? So we'll see in the Rishonim, actually Rashi and the Rajba, Miyuchas LeRajba, really not sure that it is the Rajba, but it's from the Rishonim, in that Cheder, Amaseches Menachos, that they basically discuss this very question. Is it an extra Pesach, or is it a unique Pesach? And then if it is a unique Pesach, or why is it Dafka up there, and why is it so narrow? But the question that I started out with at the very beginning, which letter are we talking about? So I started with you, Maseches Menachos, because that's what we did last time. And in Maseches Menachos, what letter is it? The letter He. Let's take a look at the Gemara in Shabbos. Gemara Shabbos goes through all the oisiyos of the Aleph Beis, and when Aleph Bina, that whole sugya, Kuf Dalid Omid Aleph, and Perek Haboine, Umay Taima Kare De Kuf Tluya, about hey, they don't say this Torah. When they get to the letter Kuf, they ask, why does the leg of the Kuf hang unconnected to anything? The Ihadar Bei Le'ayil, because if he does tshuva, he should be able to go back. You hear? It doesn't say one word about the Achsadra, and it doesn't say one word about the opening on the bottom. Very interesting. And it says, on the contrary, we're assuming that the person already left. At Ihadar Bey, if he does tshuva, Liayil, he'll be able to go back. That's why we have this opening between the upper part of the kuf and the roof of the kuf, similar to the leg of the hay. B'Liayil Bahach isks the Gemara, then why doesn't he go back the way he came? Mesayeya Lili Rish Lakish. Again, they quote Rish Lakish without using the word Lo Yistaya Milsa V'chulu. The Amar Rish Lakish might exceed him alaytsim yolus landovim yiten chayin boli tame poischen loy boli tayer mesayin oisay. Mayru de kezach. Rashi says, by the way, mesayin oisay mechinim loy pesach. In the positive, Hashem is proactive. What's Balatame? Paischenlo. What does Paischenlo sound to you? That something was closed. Let's imagine somebody wants to leave. You get very angry. You get into a fight. And the person says, I'm leaving. So what does the other person do? Goes over to the door, opens the door and says, be my guest. That's what it sounds like. Paischen. What does the word paischen mean? Paischen is a verb. It's a pa'ula. You open. What does Rashi say? It's remarkable. Rashi was very resistant. Why? Because it says, im laleitzim hu yolitz. Hu yolitz. Right? Who is the who going on? Who did I say earlier the who was going on? Who is la'anovim yitein chen going on? Hashem. So if somebody asked you to touch up the pasuk, simply word for word, im laleitzim hu yolitz. La'anovim yitein chen. Wouldn't you say that it's talking about the same mandama?
Sure.
Avad. What does Rashi say? Hu yolitz? Me'atzmai yolitz. Lo yisayuhu v'lo yimneuhu. What is Rashi obviously saying? What is hu yolitz? Who's the who? I always say that pronouns are a gift that Hashem gave to Rebbein. Because you can't escape having to explain them. And that's what you need a Rebbe for, like Rashi. Rashi comes and does something to the pasuk. He says that the who and the yitain are talking about two different entities. Im laleitzim hu yolitz ba'atzmai. If you want to sink, sink. Go ahead and do whatever you want. Hashem will not stop you. He will not hold you back. He won't close the door if you opened it. But he's not opening the door for you to get out. But on the other hand, Ula Novim, Yiteinche, then Hashem will allow you an extra Pesach that you could go through to help you achieve the tshuva that you want to do. It's a remarkable thing. And that's where that whole Shakla Vitaria of which is more, which is less, that Tosis is talking about, this is the complication that's going on here. Because from the pasuk it sounds very balanced. Laleitzim, yolitz. Anovim, yitinchem. And Rashi says, no, who yolitz is talking about the person. And Tosis is saying, it's not the same, even if it's talking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because one is more than the other. Now, if you take a look at the flow of the Gemara, then what does the Gemara seem to be saying over here? Essentially, the same yisayt, bolatayr, and bolatame. And also, it's the kuf, and it's remarkable. When we look at the hay, we have a hergish that a little bit more and it would have become a ches, or a little bit more and it's connected and it's basically the tzur of the ches. The kuf has other things going on because it's lower. The leg of the kuf goes below the other side. And it has a different surah to it. What the hay is looks more like an achsadra because the opening on the bottom is very symmetrical because the bottom of the leg on the right side and the bottom of the leg on the left side end at the same point, so you see a clear opening. By a kuf, the opening is ba'alachsayn because the curvature of the resh that's part of the kuf ends at a certain point and the leg of the kuf goes below that. So you don't really see the achsadra tzura as clearly. But the Gemara skipped over the hay entirely, interestingly enough, which leads a number of poskim to suggest that if the hay looks taka like a ches, it's not so bad. But if the kuf looks like a ches, it is. In any case, we have two ICIs that essentially are teaching us the same story. Whether there's a chiluk between the kuf and the hay in the story, I don't want to go into that. Maybe there is a dakas dika chiluk, and maybe someone could see nuances in the Gemara and Shabbos that are missing, and vice versa from the Gemara and Menachos. But let us assume for a moment, like the anecdote that I told you at the beginning, that we could say the same thing about both osiyos. What does it mean that the world is open, like an achsadra? And what does it mean that you want to do tshuva, you can't go back the way you came? And what does it mean that the Pesach is there on the top? Take a look in Rashi, Misayin Oisai. He says, Misayin Oisai, U
Umechinin loy Pesach. Mechinin loy Pesach is very not clear what Rashi has in mind. But if you took a look at the Rashi in Menachos, I'm building this out very slowly and carefully for a reason. If you look at the Rashi in Menachos, right? Shadoimelach sadra shepasuach mitachdov shekolagoytze lotzeis mimenu litarbus ra yotze. He has to be mazvi. What does it mean to go out? To go out on a date? To go out for what? It means to go out litarbus ra off the derech. Malin lei bepesach elyoin bein regel shebetoychoy legagoy. Ula ailu isks the gemara bahach pesach atachdon the nafik bay. Lo mistaya milsa, the haboli toher boi siyua mipneyetzer hara. Hilkoch avdile siyua pesach yisera. Now, everyone who reads this Rashi superficially will come to the conclusion that now he has two tzot. He has a pesach yisera, means he has an additional pesach. It's lav dafka, because when Rashi says Pesach Yisera, Yisera here could mean as if it's saying unique Pesach. A Pesach that is mesugal for Balei Tshuva. Now let us think about this for a moment. So how do we think about it? Let's take a look first at the Rashba. The Rashba, Dibra Hamatzcha Loi Mistaya Milsa. Loi Mistaya Milsa Mishum Da'abo Litayar Boi Siyua Mipnei Yetzer Hara. Hilkoch Abdele Siyua Pesach Yisera Misayin Oisai Alma Boi Siyua. That's the pshat, that's the lashon of Rashi. Vim Toimar Ma Siyua Hu Baha Pischa Tfei Mitachtoin. The Rashba, the Miuchas LeRashba and Menachos asks this very question: what is the plus of having that extra Pesach? What is the point that Chazal are trying to bring out with this? So he says, "V'yesh loymar dahasiyuahu sheyesh lo shnei psochim likones." You see clearly that his first answer is that now there's more opportunity, as it were. It's almost quantitative rather than qualitative indifference. You have now another opportunity. Don't think there's only one way to do tshuva. There may be several ways of doing tshuva. Or don't think that you are limited to one opening. There's another opening. We still have to explain that. But we're talking about numbers here. See, so he says, Pesach Yisera. Now he has two. Havi sheyesh lo shnei psochem likones. HaPesach HaTachton sheyotza boy. In other words, this teretz of the Rashba, and that's a critical point, allows that he would be able to come back the way he left. It's not impossible. It's possible. But Hashem gives you an alternative as well. Now there are two doors. That's Messiah law. Yeah. Im Kain, Im Yirza Likones, Yimza Shnei Psochem Likones, Vizeu Asiyu Ashiyeshlo Yoyser Likones, Mimashiyeshlo Lotzes. Of course, don't think for a moment that this is an explanation. But at least in the terms of the picture, we now understand that it's the quantum. It's the fact that he has two instead of one. But he could go back, according to this pshat, from the way that he came. And all this needs hesber. Then he says, "V'im toimer v'amai loy hoya yochol lotzeis mipesach ha'elyon k'moshi yikonetz." So now he asks an interesting question. Isn't it possible that if you're going to provide another Pesach, that he'll have two opportunities to leave also? So like, in other words, right? In other words, he's asking, what's the malyusa? Now there's another way of leaving as well. So he says, you know, you have these cars that are in parking lots. So the parking lots are afraid that you may leave without paying from the way that you went in. So they have these angled, you know, pieces of iron that if you go the wrong way, it rips up your tires. So he says more or less, hazazach, that there's no such thing as leaving from the top. Why? So he says, v'yesh loymar, mishum da'roitze lo seis yoyreid ve'eino yoyle. He says, very simple. He says, when you want to leave, it means you're on your way out. You don't go on your way out, up, you go down.
So the fact that there's a Pesach Lamala, that's only for people who want to struggle to return. Interesting. Then he adds the Eid. Pesach HaTachton Korv Loilotzeis Yosem in HaElyon. It's not just a question of requiring him to move upwards, it's just closer to him to begin with, because he's already on his way out. For Od, Nocha Teretz, Shapesach HaTachton Rochavu, V'yotzei B'mehera, V'HaElyon Tzarhu V'dochuk. Remarkable that he has to give all these pratim. I think that every one of these is a remez to a certain orientation of Avera, Yetzahara, and Tshuva. That's the point. The Od, Acheres, Shapesach Elyon Enoi Osui. That's what I meant by giving you the analogy of the parking lot. This last point, this Va'od. Shapesach Elyon Eno Osui Kiim Likones Velo Lotzes. You can't leave from that Pesach. Bipnesha Elyon Havi HaPesach Ben Shnei Chatzoi Ha'os. You don't leave Derech Kedusha. You only leave Derech Tum. It's an amazing thing. It's very fascinating, the binyan that he created over here, because he is interested in parting company with Rashi. But he doesn't do it right away. He first quotes Rashi, and he corroborates Rashi. But as he's giving these various terutzim, he finally comes to the question that he asked is an innocent question, doesn't seem to have anything to do with Rashi. But you see now where he was headed all along. He asked the question, if there's an extra Pesach on top, why doesn't he able to go out of that Pesach? Mahoyil Hashem b'takonosoi. So the answer he gives, A, B, C. By the time he gets to D, he says, you know what? It's like the parking lot. You can't go out from there. You can only come in. Then he says, and you know what else? The bottom is also like the parking lot. You can't come in. You can only go out. And that, he says, is what the Gemara meant by providing another Pesach, and what the Gemara meant by Lo Yistaya Milsa. Lo Yistaya Milsa doesn't mean it's hard. It means it's impossible. Because it's going in the wrong direction. I want to be mazdir this part of it first. This point of the Rashba. And if you look later on your own at the words of Rabbi Yeruchim, you'll see that there's a great deal of what I am about to say there. In the inyan, or the raya, of a Pesach to come out versus a Pesach to come in, I believe you have a Yesod Gadol. And that Yesod, I've always used the Pasuk in Yirmiyahu, Vayelchu acharei ha-hevel vayehebolu. Everyone who looks at chet as a singular moment in an otherwise unchanging tapestry is moshul l'mohadov adoyme, like you have a beautiful weave of tapestry with a gorgeous picture. And a moth, or whatever, got to this tapestry, which is made out of wool, and he made there a hole. Anyone who looks at the tapestry notices two things. Number one, that the tapestry is damaged. And number two, he sees the picture like he saw it before. Unlike a moth, is mold. Mold. Mildew. Mildew covers the tapestry and you see two things. Number one, that the tapestry is damaged. And number two, that you can't see the picture anymore. It has morphed into something grotesque. There are two kinds of chet. There's a chet that a person does in Aveira. He does an Aveira in the context of Kedusha. In the context of Kedusha, the chait will not be able to transform you. And it's like the whole of the morph. You have to fix it. Otherwise, the value of the tapestry has gone down. And a person who really cares about art wants things to be perfect. A person who cares about his neshama, and he says in the morning, Elokai neshama shenasata be tahorai, he wants the tahora to be 100%. And everyone knows that if a person puts one finger out of the mikveh, it's already a chasarin and the entire tefillah is no good. So tahora means 100%. And every aveira is a very big problem. But the aveira is in the context of kedusha, because the person has not been transformed by it. Kivan sha'avar v'shana v'shilech, then all of a sudden, he becomes the aveira. And then it's like the mildew that has covered the entire tapestry. And the tapestry is no longer a work of art. And it is no longer a thing of beauty. And it no longer tells the story of what its picture was supposed to tell. At that point, you can't simply take a sewing needle and delicately fix the hole, because there is no one particular place. What do you do now? So that's exactly what the Rashba meant and exactly what Chazal mean according to him. That when you leave the Aksadra, a person can have a Havamina, that becoming full of mildew is an unusual and unlikely prospect. Why should the tapestry be full of mildew? Mela, oh, we understand. Ein tzadik ba'aretz, asher yaseh tov lo yechta. But that has to be filled with mildew, that you have to be in a terrible environment, you have to have years for this to accumulate, who knows? Kamash malon, and this is an unbelievable and very threatening concept, that it is possible to be filled with mildew almost overnight. Because the achsadra is the world, and there are no doors and bars on the windows. It is completely an open portico. And this is a meridika yisayt. Take a look. With what I just said, the words of Rabbi Yerucham scream at you. They just come out of the page. Take a look. B'sham lahalon, he's quoting the Gemara. Umay taima tal yakare, why is its leg dangling? He starts with the Gemara in Menachos. Most people are more familiar with the Gemara in Menachos. My time atal yakare, the hadar b'tshuva le'ayalei. So the Gemara says, le'ayal b'hach, lo'y mistaya milsa k'derish lakish, im la'leitzim u'yolitz. V'hine, eich mevinim zu ha'shela shel le'ayal b'hach. Im l'moshel kino taiva v'kovar o'tziyu min ha'olam, eich ze efsha ki be'oso ha'derech atzmo yoshu v'yikonis lo'olamo. He says the same thing four times. He wants to know what's the havamin of the Gemara that you can go back the way you came. Elohim advarim asher dibarnu. Omnam ken ki hi plia gedola, even though it's an astonishing thought. Avolkenu soid hadover, ein ben gehenim legan eden elo kechut hasayva. Hasoid agodol hu, ki ba'oisei derech mama shebo yoitzim, bo yecholim lachzor likones. Lahovin, hareize derech lotzeis. Ulahovin, hi gufa, hi derech gamkein lachzor likones. Akshe yeshnoi soid shaloi mistaya milsa. Avulule zoi zui aderech mamash. Haderech lotzeis higamken aderech lachzor likones. Hine gaiva haloizehu gehenem. Toyavas Hashem kol gaval leiv. Gaiva is the worst midah of all. Vihine mi gaiva yeshna derech leganeda. Ki gaiva goiveles im vayigba liboi bedarki Hashem. Speaking about Yehoshaphat, quoting the footnote to Psukim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu elevated his heart. He gave him a goiva Bedarke Hashem, to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Harei shol ha-melech olav ha-sholom kein hifsid ha-melucha machmas choyser gaiva. What does Shmuel say to him? Halo yim koton ato be'einecho roi shifte Yisrael ato. It was his anivus that was his undoing. V'neem aloi yim koton ato be'einecho roi shifte Yisrael ato.
Hare bikru oisai, they criticized him, the tovu mimenu al kotna tobeinecha. Im kina taiva v'kovod v'kedusha matzinu, gam kina taiva v'kovod v'kedusha matzinu. V'cheinu klal v'chol dova k'tseyu shel gan eden goyvel im gehenem. They are back to back, they touch each other. U'k'tseyu shel gehenem goyvel im gan eden. Hayoytze mizela maise, ad kama she'efshe tzorcha odom lizoy v'lorutz, leval yamud liyad agvul. V'yeshlo lizrachek lorutz yoyser v'yoyser el apnim. He says as follows. The Chachomim made gzeiros upon gzeiros upon gzeiros. What do we need all those gzeiros for? So he has a yesod that he's expressing here, that there's no such thing as standing on the edge. On the edge is an extremely dangerous place to stand because you can fall off the precipice at any moment. You have to try to shore up the edge, that you're standing way from the edge, away from the edge enough that the edge doesn't become a possibility. Those are all the Rabbonim. And he says that the idea, the Rebbe Rabbunim in his own time said exactly the same thing. He said it in Yiddish. Menschen meinen, as the melchak, the distance. People think that the distance zwischen Gan Eden and Gehenem is azoy groys. Aber wifel idus afanemes kechut asayra. He says, when you shecht, you have to cut the simon. And if you shecht a bird, if you shecht a chicken, you don't have to cut both simon. To make it kosher, you can cut only one simon. Furthermore, if you shecht one of the simonim, the kana, the windpipe, you don't really have to do more under certain circumstances than a tiny nick. And if that nick is good, it's kosher. If the nick is no good, it's treif. How so? Because there's a klal that, unlike the food pipe, which if it's damaged, the animal is a treif or an avela, in the case of the windpipe, even up to half, and it's still kosher. So imagine that half is already severed. It could still be kosher shechita. But how much do you have to shech? Roiv of the simen. How many simonim in a bird? One simen. So all you have to achieve is from the half should become roiv, cut. Since half of it is already cut. So memela, the amount of shechita that you actually have to do in this bird is a mashahu. And that's lahavdu ben atameh uben ator. V'kama kechut hasayra. So the Rebbe Rabbunim said that's exactly the distance between Gan Eden and Gehenna. What are they both trying to say? That there's no such thing as you're an Erlich Hayid and nothing can touch you. Because the next step could be on the other side of the street. So you have to have all of these mechitzais and all of these hakbolos, v'gbalta sa'ar sabiv lema. And if you understand that the midos that could bring you in can also take you out, and vice versa, a person has to be preoccupied with his nature all the time to make sure that he has a security which requires a moving away, a pulling back from the opening on the bottom. What he has done here basically is told us the following, that the bottom opening is so accessible even to a tzaddik, unless he makes sure that he's not near the bottom. Because the achsadra is so open that you don't know when you're on this side of the achsadra, when the other side of the achsadra, if you're standing on the edge. Standing on the edge means taking risks. Standing on the edge means ani ekra v'loyate. Standing on the edge is being in environments that are dangerous, and on and on and on. There's no limit, actually, he's saying, and that's why there are so many drabonons, is the same idea in each person's life. A person cannot say, I will be in an environment, but I have enough baggage of Kedusha that I am able to withstand that environment. And by the way, the reason he mentions Kinatai Vukovit can go in either way is to show that the nature of the person does not have an essential predisposition just to Kedusha. On the other hand, even the negative Koichos are not necessarily a predisposition to Tumah. It depends on where you are. That's what he's saying. Where you are doesn't just mean geographically. It means on every level.
But he says, if you're standing on the edge, you'll never make it, because the achsadra is wide open. Now, this idea, I've taken it one step further. What does it mean standing on the edge and almost being here? So you have this image of a person that's be'emes a tzaddik. Many people involve themselves in environments and in circumstances where at the beginning they feel they need to do this or that or whatever, and it's not going to impact upon them because their overarching hashkafas olam is so true and so genuine and so frum. And the mele, they allow themselves. What they don't understand is that in that environment, the forces that are at work change the person, the vas achas, with his being in that environment. And to the point where you don't even realize it. So I always like to quote the example. There was a young lady that wanted to leave the Beis Yaakov as a teacher because she was making a very poor parnasa, and her hashkafa was absolutely wonderful. She wanted to support her future husband, that he should be able to sit and learn, and she wanted to develop a little nest egg. Her parents didn't have any money. So she says she's leaving, she's getting a job somewhere, they're paying her twice as much. A few weeks or a month or two later, she calls back. Did someone take the job, or did you just have somebody temporary? Because I want to come back next semester, next month. What happened? So she said that the first time someone came over to her and made some sort of risque remark, she turned purple. She was totally beside herself. The second time, a few days later, she was beside herself, but she didn't turn purple. The third time, she was angry, but she wasn't beside herself. And the fourth time, she said, yeah, it's a nice compliment. The next minute, she called that she wants her job back. That's a very simple example, but there are examples like that, Larif. A person sends his kid to a yeshiva. The yeshiva, there is an environment. The environment of the yeshiva is critical. Who the child's friends are critical. You can ask a simple question. Why is it so critical? I know who I am. I know what kind of home I want to establish. And I know what I want for my children. So why is it so critical? And in any case, they're very young. So the idea that it's a yeshiva, in quotation marks, is definitely not enough. Because the closer you get to the bottom, the easier it is to fall out. Because it's an achsadra. And an achsadra is a very interesting thing. A lot of people have kindness to me that I have such a thing with sports. I don't have a thing with sports. If somebody wants to take a ball and a bat and go into the yard and hit the ball, it doesn't bother me. If he doesn't do it 7 hours a day. But what is the idea of sports, that sports in the country? What is that? So I want to understand something. A person could hear a shiur, or he could listen to a ball game. Watch a ball game. To me, that's not a choice. Why not? So you could say it's not a choice because this is Gan Eden and this is Tavshus. I want to understand, where did that taiva to see the ball game come from? And I have a few ideas that kind of zero in on my point. Number one, why am I rooting for the Yankees? And that, I know the name of another city. For the Detroit, the Tigers? For the Detroit Tigers. Did I pick a good team?
No.
Why am I not rooting for the Detroit Tigers? What's the... No, Adarab, I want you to answer that question. I want you to answer the question with a Gemara cup, not with the cup of the fair that's in the street. Why am I rooting for them? So the answer is... because I live in New York. Does that make any sense? Does he... Now, let me ask you another question. Where do the players come from that are the Yankees? So this one comes from the Dominican Republic, and the other one comes from Minnesota, and the other one comes from down south, and the other one comes from New York State. What is that? And why did they all come together to be New York's team? Because there's something about New York. The governor brought them together.
Yeah.
The public voted them in.
This is something that was a referendum that's on the ballot box.
So there's a person, Vi Heister, the owner of the team.
Steinberg.
All
right, so you have a person, he has a lot of money, it's his hobby, he makes a lot of money, I don't know, from it, but whatever it is, so he decided this player is good, that player is good, this one is good, this one is not good, and then that's how it goes. And after all, it is the house, it used to be anyhow, the house that Bay built, and it's the Bronx, which has also, what do I have to do with the Bronx? I once visited a shul on Moshe Parkway, what do I have to do with the Bronx? But the Bronx, you know, that's like New York, like, you know, to an extreme. And what? What does it have to do with? Und mizazei mishuga, that if they win, there's a tikkatei parade. Now, you ever imagine a person make a tikkatei parade for the fellow who invented the iPhone or something? So some technological goddess. Make him a tikkatei parade. It changes your life, improves your life. Let's assume something that's really good will call out this. Jonas Salk. I don't remember that Jonas Salk had a tikkatei parade. He could take it. He saved millions of people untold tzar, agmas nefesh, and death. Iron Lung. What is that? And this, you should forgive me, this person who holds a bat and hits a ball with success, with alacrity, with strength, with kishra, he's getting my tikkatei parade because I live in this city and he won the World Series? Zechnei Revaya! I mean, you have to understand, so what's the pshat? Why are all these words sound so strange? Why am I sounding so extreme? Why am I sounding so extreme? Because it's harmless. It's harmless, it's super harmful. Because it's already evidence of the Vayehebol. I'll tell you something else. Everybody talks about Mashiach. Meretveg Mashiach, Mashiach Zoshen Kum. It's a very wonderful thing. When Mashiach comes, I want to know, is it going to be baseball or is it not going to be baseball? So somebody gets up and he says, Ein bein olam azeli maisa Mashiach el shibud malchios bovar avadad is going to be baseball. Another person comes and says, you take baseball out of the equation, what time is there in life? And I want to understand another thing. There's a game called baseball in America, America's favorite pastime. You know why it's America's favorite pastime? Because you can stand for an hour and nothing happens. It's Meiridik. This guy gets on the batter's box, out of the batter's box. On the mound, off the mound. He gives a hakratz azoy, a hakratz azoy. And it's Meir Revoy. But there's a game called soccer. Ooh, is that fast and Leviathan? And you can't use your hands, you have to use your feet. How come soccer is nothing in America and soccer there? They'll kill. There are stampedes for soccer. Until this year, nobody killed for baseball. Baruch Hashem, that happened also. Aber Lamaisa, there's no such thing as soccer in America. They try and they try and they try. And if there is, it's because the Dominican Republic has gone to America. But the Etzel or Brazilians or people from Africa or from wherever, from England, aber India, cricket. You don't even know what cricket is. You know there's a sport. Be honest with me. Be honest. You don't know what cricket is. You know it's a sport, and that's all you know. You also know it's doima to baseball, but it's not doima to baseball. But nobody knows exactly how it's doima to baseball. And the lashonis of cricket are so strange to our ears. It means nothing to us. Let me ask you a different question. If somebody's into baseball, not into cricket, is something wrong with him? So in America. So the Teretz says there's nothing inherent of value in any of this. If you're not into medicines, there's something wrong with you. If you're not into knowledge, there's something wrong with you. If you're not into how HaKadosh Baruch Hu manufactured his world, there's something wrong with us. But if you're not into baseball, so I'm into cricket. What do you want from me? But I'm not into cricket, I'm into baseball. What do you want from me? The Teretz says, because none of these things have any value. It's all artifice. It's all Eisgetracht. It's the same reason that when you have to sell a car, you put a beautiful woman next to it. What does she have to do with the car? What is the tendency? Human nature is what it is, Rabbi Isaac. And that's the pshat of Achsadra. And that's what he meant. Kinder, taiva, and kovet, matzina, sa'adam, and oilam, machnisna, sa'adam, and oilam. They're tools. The human essence is basically hechitimtzi, as they say in the Lashon of Chazal. It's an opportunity. It goes either way. and you stand on the edge, and all of a sudden you're a different person. And that's the pshat that the Achsadra is very wide. There's no way that a person that has immersed himself in... See, one hevel, you can survive. That's why there are a lot of Talmidei Chachamim who know 10,000 batting averages baal peh. Not from yesterday. Today, they wouldn't go near baseball and sports, and then once in a while, their eye catches the corner of the newspaper. You know, the sports is in the back because you read it like you read like a Russian Kodesh. The person has a natural, people into Sfarim, you know, they have a natural tendency to go to that page first. Not to mention that chances are that the front page has a picture you're not allowed to look at. The back, you know, what's kind of a baseball player. Abba Lamaisa, Rabbi Say, he's not going to remember today's batting averages because he's Mufka Lagandri. But when he was 9 years old and 10 years old and 11 years old, he remembers, and he has a Balmika copies of Maritika Talmud Chacham. He has a tremendous ikara, and he can't even get it out of his system. He start talking about Mickey Mantle or Roger Maris or Velvet, whatever it is over there, that he knows cold, because in those days, that's the, you know, he's now 60, 70 years old. And a Gedenk Talmud, I know one of the Gedolim says that he hasn't had anything to do with baseball for 85 years. He's now 100 years old. For 85 years, and when he hears that the Yankees won, it's Gitta Mashtiklatsif. That's human nature. That's the Achsadra that's on the bottom. But one Hevel we can survive. But what happens is life is Havel Havel. And when it's Vayel Chlachrea Hevel Vayel, this is what happens when you don't pluck the person out. So when I was speaking about this Inyan a few weeks ago, someone comes to me and he says that he was visiting the Kaisel HaMa'arovi. And he went into the yeshivas there. There are a number of yeshivas. Doesn't matter which one it is. It's not the point. It comes into a dorm room, which is literally facing the holiest place on earth. And in the dorm room is a full-blown poster of a basketball player. Apparently about tshuva-type yeshiva, where they allow you a certain amount of leeway. And this is where the person is holding today. And they hope that tomorrow, instead of that picture, there'll be a full-blown picture of the face of the Steiger, of the Chazon Ish. Now imagine somebody has a picture of this ball player, and he could have the picture of the Chazon Ish. It's chatatzit. It's mamash chatatzit. You pashut can't digest such an idea. What are you putting him up for? Why is he your hero? What do you have in common with him? What don't you have in common with him? Are you not aware that there are worlds that separate you? No, the Teretz is Vayelchu Achareya Hevel Vayevolu. And Rabbi Say, don't think that that is an extreme situation, so of course it's easy to give it as an example. You know how many Yidden are into money? Money. You know my mashal with money, it's a very pashut the mashal. There's no bigger Hevel Vayevolu than money. Guy became a plumber. Spent quite a number of years becoming a master plumber. And he knows plumbing code. He knows how to fix sophisticated boiler systems, complicated filtration systems, sewer systems. He's a master of it all. And he finally gets his degree, and he's ready. So the next day, he goes to the most hush of a plumbing supply house in the world, and he buys the best wrench that money can buy. It costs who knows how much. The next day, he goes and buys another wrench. And the next day another, and for 10 years, all he does is buy wrenches. That's a person who accumulates money. I just described the gvir. That's what I just did. What are you looking at me? I just described a rich person. More money and more money. Not money, buildings. Nocha building and nocha building. And nocha building after. For the building you need money. And the building produces money. And the money produces money. And then maybe one day I'll be Zoicha, that I'll be the head of a hedge fund. I'll make everybody else chorid, but I will have more money. So imagine if you substituted, instead of the word money, wrenches, plumbing wrenches. You'd think the man is a vista meshugana. So for how long, now that you've got your degree, are you going to collect wrenches before you go out and ever use one? Money is a tool, and if you use it for Torah and mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim and chesed, then if a person has $50 million, then $45 million he would give away. There is no person on earth at this point that is going to do that easily And if there is one, there is a place that they call Bellevue. And I guarantee you that that's where he's going to be put. Because Vosfara Meshuggah departs with all his money. What's wrong with having $5 million left? What is he going to do with that? It's an amayut kazakh. You know that. You know what the matzav is today? And I guarantee you, and everybody says the same thing, I don't know too many gvirim. I don't want to add Baruch Hashem. But I don't know too many gvirim. The ones that I know are really exceptional. They're yotzim in a klal, and they're not such big gvirim anyhow. Abel, if the gvirim, who are gvirim, would part with their money, there could not be a schar limud problem, there could not be a rebbe problem, there cannot be a yeshiva closing, and there cannot be a Rabbi Feivelson, so Lazayin Gesunden Stab, he's poshet a zoken, a tzadik, a talmud chacham. Why isn't he in Tzfas? Because Adaf zach schleppen dort to make a few dollars. A kam kam. Zach nai rabbi. You don't think that that's a yelchla chreya hegel? You don't think that's the aksadra that's wide open? Zach nai ridik. Money is a sam. It's a sam. And what, money? Money's neutral. That's exactly what Rabbi Yerucham is saying. You think the distance between Gan Eden and Gehenna. All of a sudden, your perspectives change. You know, I always say the first year, it says that Mordechai and Esther sent out letters. In the first letter, it says, Mishloach Manos Yishloach. It doesn't say Matanos Lav Yayin. In the second letter, it says, Mishloach Manos Yishloach. A year later, Matanos Lav Yayin. You know why? Because a gvir lives on top of the hill, and the person who's poor is, in his eyes, a cockroach. I'm serious. And you don't want to live with cockroaches. You call an exterminator. You should forgive me. But you can't call an exterminator for people, so you stay on top of the hill. Nobody pays the slightest attention that it says, Kol mokum sh'ata moitzah v'sanusay sh'al kodesh brochu, sh'kududulos v'shomata moitzah v'sanusay, morayim eshkoyim v'es dako u'shval ruach. Where is the Eibushter? He's with the cockroaches. But I'm going to live on the top of the hill, and I don't have anything to do with them. You know why? Because they're bad masu, they're bad karma. I don't want to have anything to do with them because it'll rub off. They have their shlemils and shlemazels. They have the stain of failure, the stench of failure. I don't want to have anything to do with that. So I have my own country club and my own lofty, prominent palace on the top of the hill. When the Jews were threatened with annihilation, all of that fell away. Tomorrow you're not going to have your palace, tomorrow you're not going to have the top of the hill, tomorrow you'll be buried in the ground if you're lucky. At that moment, every Jew was homogenous. Everybody became the same. And for one moment of the thrill, of the euphoria of being saved at the last second, everybody still felt that common ish echad b'leib echad kimu b'kibu. You know how long it lasted? It lasted for 1 year. Then, of course, Purim is Purim. It's a takana. It's a yontif. But I don't have to think about aniyim anymore. They are not my brothers. They are not my friends. Mishloach monos ish l'reyehu does not include them. So he had to add umatonis l'avyonim. Matanis Lavyonim is the nisbach, it's the footnote to Mishloach Manos Yishloach the second time around. That is the nekuda of money. A person builds a palace and spends years with unimaginable Agmas Nefesh to build that palace. So if you have Agmas Nefesh and you build a shul, alright. But you're building a palace for what? For how many years? For whom? So the teretz is, the achsadra is wide open. And it doesn't take long. Do you know people who kill the contractor for one little screw that wasn't in the right place? And some people will make somebody undo years, hours, days, months, whatever it is of work. Because it didn't come out to the original deal or the original expectation. Even though nobody would notice the difference. What? You have that kind of delicate sensibility when it comes to your neshama? And anybody was medactic and mitzvahs like that? Now what are you tapping the other person's blood? So he made a mistake. Nishka fella. And you never make mistakes? We don't do anything wrong. We never need to have forgiveness. We never need to forgo. Let's take a look at the time of Dvaira.
The time of Dvaira is also Meiridik. Because the time of Dvaira, you know, he had an idea that what applies to the Ribbono Shel Olam has to apply to human beings also. The strangest of ideas. Yashuv Yirachamenu. Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Misnai Kemidas Basav Adam. Shem Hichisai Chaveiroi Keshu Misratze Imoi Misratze Ma'at. Loi Ba'ava HaKedemis. A normal person, if somebody wrongs, Reuven wrongs Shimon, husband and wife got into a fight, they make up. Everybody says the making up is nicer and better than the fight. The Talmud Dvar says not like that. He says it's not the same. There's always a memory, there's always a residual. He says, what about the Ribbono Shel Olam? Avlim chota adam vasa tshuva ma'alasa yaisa gedoyle ma'kadosh baruch hu v'haynu b'mokim shabali tshuva oimdim eim tzadikim yichoylim la'amid. He wants to know why. An interesting question. Why is it that ein tzadikim gemurim yichoylim la'amid b'mokim shabal tshuva? You know what he says? Agimor in menachas is the answer. Be'inyan hey, lama hi asuya kach sadra. Notice that they all quote the Gemara in menachas. Very strong words. It says the whole world is one big opportunity for chet. It doesn't have walls. El pirza gedoyla prutza litzad hara litzad mata. Call me sheyirtza lotzeis me'olamai kama pischen loy. La yifne litzad, there's no turning point shelo yimtza tzad chet v'avon likones elachit zaynim. The gam hipsucho l'milmalo shim yoshuv yikablu. There's also Pesach on top. V'hikshu shon v'lahadru b'hai. Why doesn't he go back the way he came? Loy mistaya milsa. Ratzu bazeh. Sha'ashov v'tshuva lo yaspik loy sheyia nigdar me'avon kegeder hatzadikim. A tzaddik has the habit of a tzaddik. He has the background of the tzaddik. He has the mattress, as it were, for the fall. He has a lot that catches him, a lot that inspires him. And that gives him a padding, which the choyte does not have. So tzaddikim shloichotu geder ma'at yaspik lohem. Even in an achsadra they can perhaps manage. Omnam achoyte shechotu v'shov lo yaspik lo geder ma'at. The person who sinned cannot go back to one moment before the sin. He has to go all the way back because he has no padding at all. And once he sinned, and especially ova v'shona v'shileish nasalei keheter, the tshuva that you have to do for that requires you to go to a very great extreme. And that's Chor Schor Aminon L'Nazir L'Karma L'Sikrav, which Rabbi Ruchem quotes also in these pages. Zokta, the Chayte, when he shov lo yaspik lo yedem ma'ad l'tzorech l'hagder atzmai k'may gedorim koshim, b'pnei she'oso geder ha'ma'ad k'var nifratz pa'amachas, im yiskariv shom b'kal yifateyu yitzroi. Gets anywhere close to the place of his original chait, the Yetzer Hara easily ensnares him and confounds him and convinces him to do the Aveira. El Tzorech L'Yisrachik Harchik Godol Mioid. V'lozeh lo yikonis derech Pesach Achsadra Shapir Tzashom. El Yis'ala, he has to elevate himself. V'yikonis derech Pesach Tzar, a narrow opening. V'yaseh kamat tzorech v'tzigufim la'atzmai v'yistoim hapir tzais. He has to be proactive in closing off all those openings of his portico. Mitam zeh b'mokim shabal yitshuva oim demein tzadikim gemurim yicholim lamoy b'pnei shloi nichnesu derech Pesach ha-tzadikim k'dei sheyiyu im ha-tzadikim ele nitztaru v'olu derech Pesach ha-elyon v'sikfu atzman v'nivdalu min ha-chet yoyse v'yoyse min ha-tzadikim v'kach olu v'omdu b'madrega hei heichel Hashem shebegan Eden. They're closer to the roof of the hay, which symbolically represents the highest madregas of Kedusha. But tzaddikim, This corroborates Rabbi Yeruchim's point that all those koiches l'toiv are the koiches l'ra. They are towards the Pesach of the Achsadra, because they were able to contain their basic instincts, and therefore they work within that basic instinct that Hashem gave them. But those who failed with their basic instincts, they have to elevate themselves to transcend their instincts, because working with their instincts, the Yetzer Hara will get them all over again. So they have to develop a kedusha that brings them close to the God, and the meilu b'mokum shabali tshuvim oimdim ein tzadikim gemurim yecholim lamed. The zekasha adam yase tshuva, the hainu toshuv hey el mekaymai. The word tshuva is toshuv hey. This is a zayar in a number of places in the Raya Mehemna. The yase kadosh baruch hu shchinasai olav ein oshav ka'ava rishana bovad ele yoseh v'yoseh v'hainu yoshuv yirachamenu. She Yosef Rachmim Yisrael, the attack name, the Karven Yosef. So he says about Tshuva elevates himself because he needs to create a world around him that is Kedusha and that transcends the Achsadra world. Otherwise, he won't be able to sustain his Tshuva. And in that world, he becomes much closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In that context, the Baal Tshuva is higher. And he's reached the level of Toshuv Hey El Mekayma, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves him even more. Kach tzarech ha'adam lisnayig im chaveirot. This is incredible. Lo yiyya noiter eva me'akas ha'koidim, elo kishayira she'chaveiro mevakish ha'avosa yiyelo b'madregas rachim im v'ava yoyser v'yoyser mikodim. V'yoyma harehu li kebalei tshuva she'ein tzadikim gemurim yecholim lamod etzlam. The karveyu tachlis kurva yosim imashim akarvasam shem tzadikim gemurim imay shleichatu etzloi. The Talmud Dvarim takes it as a davar poshut, that if we want to be doymit to Hashem, we have to be nicer to the people who wronged us once you make shalom than even before. But we're not dealing with that level bein adam lechaveru. We're dealing with bein adam lamakom.
The perception of an achsadra, whatever it was in the time of Chazal. We don't need any analogies. Our world is an achsadra b'metzias. The access to the world today is not comparable, the kind of access we have, to every aspect of the world. And to the world itself. And to every person in the world. Is not at any other time in history. And it's something that's almost indigestible. We don't know how to deal with it. The first yisoid from Rabbi Yeruchim is that you can't stand on the edge. There's no such thing as saying, I'll make myself open to all of this, it's not going to affect me. You have to pull away. There's no shaila about it. There's no such thing as being open and available to everything in the world, and it's not having its roshim. You have to understand. There was a point where the concept, the word gay did not exist in our vocabulary. It meant somebody that's happy. And the whole notion that there is alternative preferences does not any longer include gay. It includes transgender and transsexual. It's unbelievable. Being a man or being a woman is now up to my decision. What do I feel in my inner self? The Bria of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is simply an original, you know, Havamina. It's not the Maskana. The Maskana is up to me. I can decide what I want to be. And Avada Gevis, if I have certain Hergeshim, there's no such thing as suppressing Hergeshim or denying Hergeshim, as long as it doesn't hurt anybody else. And even the concept of hurting somebody else, there's a lot of flexibility in that. Because you see, you can have a boyfriend and a girlfriend. Now, they bond together. They think that they have a psychic design. It's not just a physical thing. And all of a sudden, one day, he decides, nisht, because he doesn't have that sense and that keshet. But the other person still does. So you're not hurting somebody? You're not breaking somebody's heart? It doesn't mean anything. It's all sheker, this whole idea that you're not hurting anybody. Person gets divorced. There are children. You think the children are not victims? By definition, they're always victims. But there'll be a terrace. But it's much worse for them if we stay together, because all they hear is fighting and screaming all day. Yeah, you don't hear that. You hear that all the time. There's always a justification when the real nekuda is, I don't want to be told what to do. I don't want to be forced to do anything. I don't want to be told that there's a moral principle, that there's a religious principle, that there's a social principle. I want to do my own thing. The world became one big Baal Taiva, and that's the truth. And we are blind if we don't realize that. Even the environmentalists and all those people said, Gornish Welt, Manish Gornish Welt. The whole of the essence of the person today is Ani und ich will, and entertain me and provide for me. And the whole thing is such a superficial veneer. It's Neurovayim. That's why the liking and loving are two separate worlds. There's almost no loving going on. There's no sacrifice going on. There's no real Nesiris Nefesh for anything. And it's Peshit Surah V'Leibish. So today it's this person, tomorrow it's that person. But in the incredible onslaught, you know what happened? Something that's treif puzzle, something that the Torah denies us completely, something that the Torah calls in the most extremely negative terms, suddenly became a badge of honor. And we were parades. And chas v'sholem, you should open up your mouth. You're a barbarian. You are a barbarian. That's not achareya hevel v'yevol. So what am I saying? None of us subscribe to any of that. The teretz is the analogy that I gave you with that little that Beis Yaakov girl. Are we turning red? Do we get sick? Do we feel that the Torah is being violated? So what's the pshat? The pshat is that achareya hevel v'yevol does not mean that we become like them. It does not mean that we become like them. It means that we can hear it, that's their shita. That's Acharei Hevel Vayabolu. We have all been Vayabolu. And I'll tell you something else. Just like we don't know, I always quote this because it's a tremendous, tremendous mashal. They came to make a long story short, they came to the Nesiva Shalom, the Slonim, and they asked him, what's going to be so different in Yemais HaMashiach if I'm sitting and learning now, day and night, l'chulu l'chulu? So he says there was a farmer, a hick. So he was a philosopher. Everybody's a philosopher. So he says, I understand why I have hands, because I have to push the plow. I understand why I have feet, because I have to walk with the plow. Why do I have a head? Believe me, for a lot of people, that's a very good takasha. Of a lemaisa, he's a philosopher. Philosophers never end with, ich weiß nicht. What kind of a philosopher is he? A weiß nicht. So he answered the question. Ah, I know. To hang my hat. I have to protect myself from the sun when I'm walking on the farm. And if I don't have a hat, so where am I going to hang my hat if not on my head? Now I understand everything. That's what he was saying. You have questions, what is Yemais HaMashiach for? It's the same question like you're asking, what do you have a head for? And you're coming to Maskana to hang your hat. Your learning will be better. Because the pshat is that we don't even begin to comprehend a world that doesn't have all this tumah, that doesn't have all this schmutz, that doesn't have all of this sheker, that doesn't have all of this absurdity, that isn't a world that became hevel, and we became a hevel with it. So in Europe, they used to joke that the lady said, when he came back home and he said, Mashiach comes, we take everything and we go. She says, can we take the goat? He says, I don't know, because he didn't say anything about the goat. You go back and tell him, if the goat doesn't go, I don't go either. Everybody has his goat. That was the maaser that I told you with the yo-yo. So my shver was a young boy, 6 years old, 7 years old, and the rich person from America came, and he gave everybody presents, chocolate bars, but the rough son, he gave a yo-yo. One of the kids had a big title for it, Vaisis Loisachmai, doesn't know any age limits. And he says, I need that yo-yo, I have to have the yo-yo. So he says, what do you want to give me for it? So he says, takes out from his pocket all of his junk. It was a very poor town, they had nothing. He says, I'm not interested in any of that, I have the yo-yo. He says, is there anything? He says, yeah, one thing. What? Give me your oil and not blood. The Maisa Shahoyim. So he says, all right, that I'm asking. For a yo-yo. 70 years later, in Eretz Yisrael, My shrek gets a call from this person. He lives somewhere in Haifa. I don't know where he lives. He says, I'm getting on in years. Who knows when my time will come? I want my Olam HaBa back. It's an unbelievable story. Rabbi say it sounds funny because it's about a yo-yo. Every single one of us, I'm talking to myself more than I'm talking to you, we all have those yo-yos. We all have those medumet dekazachen that really and seriously we would be willing to give up our Olam HaBa. You know why? For two reasons. Because we don't have the absurdity of what we're giving up is really nonsense in the end. And we also don't have what Olam HaBa is. We just have no hasaka. The problem today is that we don't know what Olam HaZeh is. That's the problem. We don't know. We get a little bit more immersed. What I gave you here is such an oitzer of Torah. Take it home with you. I guarantee you, if we would chazer this over once a week for the next 20, 30 weeks, we would be elevated. We would become B'nai Aliyah. This whole chazal is such a Pesach. It itself is a Pesach, the Tshuva. Because it says so much. Whenever you see that letter Hey, or the letter Kuf, for that matter, you should have these ideas in mind. Don't get swept up with the world, Rabbi said. Come into the Beis Medrash, you come into a cocoon, you open up a Chumash with a Rashi, you connect yourself to thousands of years of Kedusha, the Helikite of a Rashi. What can a newspaper say that compares to the Helikite and the Chashivas of a Rashi, a simple, quote-unquote, a simple Rashi, that the Vilna Gaon, when he was already Nukala Terekula, he started learning Chumash and Rashi. That's what we need, Rabbi said, a Chumash and Rashi. Life. And the rest of it is just pashut constantly to be aware that we're being sucked up. The world is one big vacuum. One big vacuum. And the vacuum, like a vacuum cleaner, it's pulling us into it. And to such an extent that we don't chap, and we think the hat is something to hang the hat on. We don't chap what's happening to us. And if you have an idea that you are You're B'nai Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And this is not us. And it's not for us. And it's shtus. It's hevel. It's the beginning of climbing back into that little opening on the top, which the Rashba tells us, anyhow, is meant to be able to go in. And the bottom is meant to be able to go out. We should be zeicher that we are awake and aware. And as the Rambam always says, V'yeyor mishnaso yushkiyoysa bahavli azman, the Rambam said it in his time, Allah has kama v'kama, Moshitaka b'zoycha to Moshiach tzidkenu v'me'eva v'yameinu amen.